Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio. There goes the old British lady. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars for, what's today's date? 7/6/22. Hey, everybody. Hope everybody out there is doing fantastic, having a good week, or at least ways a bearable week. Hope everybody enjoyed a safe 4th of July and behaved themselves to the best of their abilities. So, got an ad on here before we start passing it around. All right, outstanding. And we're picking up numbers. We good. But go out there outside in the nasty, nasty, sweaty, god-awful heat of North Carolina tonight. Light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. So, with no further ado-dah, pass it around the room real quick. Returning to us from the fantastic state of Arkansas, she's got the whole world on her shoulders, but she checked in tonight, graced us with our presence. Granny Hulkster, how are you doing?
Well, I'm good, but I'm actually calling you tonight from the state of Kansas without the Ark in it.
No Ark Kansas.
So I'm actually in Kansas. I was in Kansas all last week, went home Friday back to Arkansas, came up yesterday to my mom's and helped my cousin the best of my ability, helping him get her stuff moved into the assisted living facility where she's going to be finally moving next Monday on July 11th. And hopefully then Granny will get to go back home to Arkansas for a while and not have to be having to make so many trips, you know. But I'm glad to be here tonight, guys, with you all. I've missed you all, and I appreciate the prayers and the well wishes and the encouraging words, because I'll tell you, it's been a struggle. It's been a really, you know, rough week. I had three very dear friends pass away this past week. One on the 3rd and two on the 4th. So it's been a tough week, but I'm glad to be hanging out with you guys tonight. So glad to be back on the show. So
outstanding. It's good to have you back.
But it's hot. But it's hot in Kansas. They're talking triple digits, like a heat advisory through tomorrow. So hopefully it'll start cooling down a little bit. I don't like the Granny don't do well in the heat. I don't like the heat, so I don't do good in it. Anything above 70 degrees is too hot for me. So just saying, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's the closest thing to hell without being actually there.
You mentioned that. I got to share a real funny story with you guys really quick. I went to a wrestling show in Bentonville Sunday night on the 3rd, and one of the guys wrestling, he's always the bad guy, and I normally boo him, but the guy he was wrestling was also kind of a bad guy too, and I didn't really like his attitude. So I was cheering for Colt, which I hardly ever do. And he says, Granny, I don't need your support. How's the osteoporosis going? I said, well, first of all, get it right. It's osteoarthritis. And I was saying to him, and I was talking to him before the show, I said, now, you know Granny's going to have to cheer for you tonight. He says, well, if you do that, we're going to have to check hell, because hell might be frozen over. And when you said that, that made me think of what he told me. But it was a good show. I'm glad I got to go, because I really needed to take some frustration out on some people Sunday night, which I did, by the way.
Right.
So.
Go on out there and let somebody hold on to it. Good God, these.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all hear that? Is it jumping. Jesus, man. These toads are putting on a damn show tonight. Is that too much feedback?
It's your three frogs, Dave. It's the same ones that'll be leaving those eggs all over your sliding door and stuff like that, vehicle windows. It's the tree frogs with that particular peep.
Really? It ain't too disruptive, is it? Can y'all hear all right?
What? No, we're good.
Outstanding. Very good. So, moving across back to the East Coast, by golly, coming out of nowhere, good to hear from this young man, our good brother, the Amazing Velvet. What's going on, man?
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I got good news. I had to pop on here real quick. I'm on vacation with the whole family. We finally got my family together in one place at one time. So my kids, everything. So anyway, I was kind of quiet with what's going on with me. So I had a scan, had a CT scan, and the treatment I should have been on months ago from one oncologist, which cut me loose, and I went to another hospital. This guy said, we're going to do what you were supposed to do. Well, everything has shrunk tremendously. Everything I got going on, though, especially the one closest to the artery. So what we're going to do, I told him, we're going to put the foot on the gas as long as I can take it, you know, until I need a break. I said, I want to keep going. And they were like, okay. So that's what I want to let this team know and all y'all know. I got a little power today, so I took advantage of it, obviously. But I have, like Granny, I have a story. So last weekend was men's weekend for all the men in my family. And I wasn't doing too hot. I had just come off chemo. I was pretty rough. So I sucked it up and took one for the team. So anyway, Friday, we get a pontoon. We're riding around Lake Strom Thurmond. Anyway, we out there. And we coming under a bridge going into Georgia, and we saw something hanging from the bridge. We was like, what the heck is that? Turned out there was a rope somebody tied to the bridge and stuck it down the drain hole, and it came down, and you could ride by it and grab the rope, right? So we're like, what the heck is that all about? So we forgot about it. Saturday morning, we went and played golf, which I kicked everybody's ass by five strokes. I'm awesome. the funny thing was we had my brother's son-in-law, Matt. He's a golfer, and he's left-handed, and he's pretty good. I mean, he's better than all of us, right? Well, I borrowed some clubs from another friend of mine, and when he's standing behind me, and he already teed off, and I was next, and as soon as I teed off, he went, shit. So anyway, getting back to the story about the lake, right? So here we are. So we've already played golf. We've done all that stuff. We're eating, blah, blah, blah. So my little brother's about 5 o'clock, maybe 6, started getting a little saucy. And he looks at me and goes, hey, you want to get on the jet ski and see if you can grab that rope? I said, don't threaten me with a good time, brother. Let's go. So we get on. We hop on the jet ski. We ride down to the bridge. Now, we're 100 yards out, and we're closing on this thing, and there's two other pontoons coming under the bridge. So I'm standing up on the back of the jet ski, not even holding on. I got my hands up in the air. I look like I was doing the thing from Titanic, right? So I'm not even holding on at this point, and we're going at a good clip, man. So We get there, and I grab that rope, and all my brother saw was my ass in his face when I went up in the air. And I saw the bottom of the bridge, and I let go, and I hit that water. That was good. I did it on the first try, but the funniest part was this. I couldn't get back on the jet ski. He fell off the jet ski. He gets back on it, so he towed me to the shore, and we were laying there for a second, and my brother looks at me and goes, who'd ever thought a rope hanging from a bridge would be a bucket list item? And I went, check. So I sucked it up for the team because let me tell you something. It took me 3 days to recover from that shit. I was like, what the hell? You only live once, you know. And I was, even though I was feeling bad that entire weekend, you know, it was good to get out and do stuff again because I haven't done anything in such a long time. So that helped, and then this weekend helped getting my whole family together. So I just want to let y'all know everything's so far so good. I'm not gonna, you know, dwell on it and this and that. I just want to keep going and see what happens. So
continued prayers, my friend. Continued prayers.
Thank you. That's what I was gonna say. Y'all are awesome. So I appreciate every one of y'all. I will touch base with y'all again personally. So go have a good show, and tell Tim I'm still looking for Tim. All right, you guys have a good. You guys.
Hey, Velvet.
Yeah.
Tim was told today that while the family was there in East Pennsylvania, that they had to go to a chocolate factory, and he said no. He goes, it's not the one from the movie, and that. He says, and my name's not Charlie. I asked him if Velvet was involved, and he said no.
Oh. That's pretty funny. All right, well, guys, I love you guys. Thank you for the continued prayers, and I'll holler y'all later,
thank you
right?
for calling in, brother.
Oh,
yeah,
we love you, too.
Yeah, man.
We love you, too,
oh,
Velvet.
And one last thing. Todd and the crew that have been running pro wrestling interviews while I've been out, I want to thank y'all immensely. Toed the line. You've actually raised viewership, listenership, excuse me. It's actually raised. Y'all been doing a good job. I appreciate y'all. Thank you for all that hard work. So, all right, guys. I'm going to run. We'll finish the activities
love
for tonight.
You, Velvet.
Love y'all, too.
All right, man. Hey, it sounds
good.
Oh,
I love
you,
brother.
Great,
be safe.
Yep.
Good to have you aboard, man. And keep taking
yeah,
care,
man.
All right?
All right, buddy. Y'all be good.
Right on. We'll talk
to
you.
Take care.
Bye, man.
Bye-bye.
Me. All right. Hell, at this point, I'm so happy with that part.
Yeah,
Velvet
no
taking
kidding.
The time to call in. I'm good. I'm good. Been a good show. Been a great night. Man, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Nice little charge of energy there, man. That's something but good right there. Outstanding.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, good, and he sounds so good. I tell you, that's the part that does my heart good is that hearing him talk, man, and just got a lift in his voice and everything else, man. That just that's magic
for sure. For sure.
Outstanding. So, Todd, my brother, we know you're outstanding. The supernatural. How are you doing this evening?
Man, you ever take a couple days off from work and you come back and you'd be like, what the hell just happened?
Yeah.
That's pretty much been today. Since you decided to deep six my introduction line, all's going good. Went and spent the weekend with family in Ohio, and we had a darn good time. We blew some stuff up. had a darn fine time. We're just showing people how to do it. I think I found these, and I know I've seen them before. I just never played with one. Look, this is a single pack of firecrackers that has 1,000 firecrackers. That thing rolled out a little over 8 feet and took over a minute to go off. And I was in 8 feet long and left a scorch mark in my brother's driveway. That carbon will be there a minute. And my next thought was, you know what? They sell a version of that that's got 4,000 firecrackers and one that's got 7,000 firecrackers. I just got to figure out a place that has room to do that.
Yeah, good grief,
that would,
huh?
I mean, think about how long that thing would be. I just saying. We're talking, yeah, we're talking about 11 meters for just a 4,000 round, so.
Ah, damn. So were they just,
yeah.
Like fountain-type stuff?
Just
ye old
firecrackers. You know what? You know how all your firecrackers are put together in a little pack?
Yeah.
These, nobody decided to make little packs out of them. They're just one long string from hell.
Ah.
And so
yeah,
I literally rolled it out, mm-hmm. and it just kept rolling. But, well, damn.
The innovator.
So, yeah, we're going to wait to see. We're going to wait. Oh, man, I know I'm going to have to look at one of the bigger ones. I just, my biggest thing is, actually, the issue will be, how do I behave myself and not buy it because I don't have a practical place to use it? But I might just lay it down all the way down the sidewalk in front of my mom's house. I might be able to cover the whole length of her area there. Cover the whole thing from one end to the other.
For a bunch of kids to be outside playing this summer and then go out there in a parking lot in your apartment complex to do it. And just make sure you're wearing a tie. So that way when people start looking, you know, you're out there in a tie and you point at those kids and you go, those little bastards over there. And you're good.
I like
just gotta
it.
Just
got
to be a little creative, you know.
I like it. The yeah, that's I do. Yeah. I do still have a 1,000 roll thing, so maybe just blame the indigenous populace. The
all the children
laughing
in the complex. They've been warned. They know to run. Old Todd's out in the parking lot. I'm not catching hell for this.
Yeah, but you know me, I'd find a way to implicate myself. Like, yeah, you just happen to be sitting there with a lawn chair and a big bag of popcorn.
Yeah. It's the, what was it, Bugs Bunny, when he put the mobsters in the oven? He said, if my pal Rocky was in this oven, would I turn on the gas like this? You might have it.
Yeah.
The fireworks here, by God, you know, last week when I was speaking on getting the dog baked, Dale went to PetSmart and did exactly what I asked her. I says, walk right up to the highest ranking individual in the building and say, I want to get my pet baked to the max, Cheech and Chong level high. What do I buy? And young
and
lady
they,
over there
they proceeded
gave
to go out to the parking lot to the back of his vehicle.
Yeah, they went out to the trunk. Here you go. Just put this and some fried eggs for your dog. The stuff that they gave us, I'm here to tell you, it was funnier than hell. First off, we and something to think about and something to consider, when 4th of July happens on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or a Monday, you can best well count on probably 3 or 4 days worth of fireworks.
People
randomly shooting the stuff off. So we went ahead and they shot off a couple here in the neighborhood, and I'm talking, it wasn't even dark yet. It was like right at dinner time, and I'm like, God damn, they're getting busy. So went ahead and cracked those things open. And administered said amount to each dog. And I swear, I thought I would laugh my ass off. Oh, God. You talk about all three dogs just being mellow as hell. They're all very well-behaved, mellow dogs to start with. They spend 80% of their day just sleeping in the bed, sleeping on the couch, that kind of stuff. But they do get up, and, you know, Jones the pets and play around on the floor with one another and everything. But we gave them those hemp tablets, and I swear, you go to let them out to piss, and they just stand at the damn deck, and they stand at the stairs, and they just look at the steps, look back at you like, I don't know if I could do this or not, man. They get right off the concrete, and they just, like, do this kind of half a squat thing. They pee all over the place, and they make, like, this slow turn around, and they just kind of ease up the steps and right back to the door. And it's like, damn, these dogs are cooked right now. So, yeah, they had a very, very good weekend. Hell, I was looking at the results on those dogs and thinking about taking the damn things myself. But they were good to go. So, yeah, the fireworks here wasn't as bad as last year. Last year was almost Vietnam level. I mean, the amount of stuff that was going off. But, of course, it was coerced by our fantastic, wonderful ASPAG Governor Cooper, who told everybody don't shoot off fireworks this year because of COVID. And all that did was encourage everybody to go get 10 times the amount and light them off just to give him the finger. But
all right, then yeah, I just got to ask, what did Dr. Fauci pass that somehow firing fireworks was more dangerous with for COVID? Trying to do the math. Help me out.
Yeah, well, if you go to watch an NFL game or if you go to burn down Portland or Seattle, or maybe perhaps you want to stand in the middle of an interstate in St. Louis, you won't catch it. But if you shoot off fireworks in North Carolina, you run a very high risk of catching COVID. It's in the science, Todd. It's in the science.
All righty, yeah. Then.
That's why everybody...
Well, I tell you, when I was home over the weekend, I mean, I had like 4 or 5 days of just boom, 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 boom. Luckily, my sweet little basset hound, she can't hear anymore very well, and she can't really see anymore, so I'm sure she just curled up in her doghouse. But, I mean, oh, there were some that was so loud that it, like, you shook my house, and I'm like, God. I mean, we went to our friend's house up in Key Ridge, Arkansas, where they live, after we got done at the wrestling show, you know, Sunday night. We went over to their house and watched them shoot fireworks off. But, man, it was like my neighborhood felt like, I was like, ooh, come on, people. I want to go to sleep.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and my poor little, my son's little dog, he curled up next to Anthony and just kind of hit his head, you know, like, I don't want this, Daddy, you know.
Well, there's a certain amount of responsibility that comes with doing that. And unfortunately, last year what happened here was the young man who lives two doors down who has no low volume control on his stereo at night figured he'd go ahead and augment the noise with some fireworks. And they weren't just your regular stand in the driveway, Roman candle type things. He was taking the boxes out there, the stuff that you actually set and light from a distance for, like, actual fireworks shows.
Okay, and
you know, Todd. And he was, there was stuff whizzing over people's houses and the whole damn 9 yards. So, yeah, it was a bit much last year, but apparently he was a little busy, because he did not put on a show this year, much to my appreciation. But, yeah, otherwise had a good fourth, drank a little too much, but that happens. But otherwise, it was very enjoyable. And, as always, had a quick prayer for the good of the nation, because I don't care how much you talk shit about this country, it's still
1,000% better than everywhere else on the planet. And that's why everybody's trying to get in. In the event that we did suck, then everybody would be taking boats to Cuba instead of from Cuba to the United States and the like. Nevertheless, we move forth. We'll play on words there. So, tonight, we're running low on topic matter. But then I got to thinking, you know, we got a lot of stuff coming up in August viewing-wise. And then, of course, there's some of the stuff we're currently viewing right now. As a matter of fact, we just got Paramount Plus here at the house. And leave it to me. I think it's like $9 a month. Dale's watching stuff. Rob's watching stuff. I'm sitting in front of my laptop laughing my ass off. And Dale says, what are you watching? And I was watching SpongeBob. It was like, I'll be damned. Old SpongeBob still has it after all these years. I was laughing like hell watching that stuff. But, yeah, coming up, we've got in August Star Wars Andor. We've got She-Hulk. And we've got the new Game of Thrones series coming on HBO, which has got my ears really perked up, and looking forward to that. I'm just hoping that they just don't let it get away from them like they did that last season of Game of Thrones. So we shall see. They're going to keep it real, as they say, or if they're just going to let it go to hell like they did last season. But it's supposed to be set in the years prior to the Game of Thrones that we all know and love, the Song of Fire and Ice. So, and I don't know how many episodes it's supposed to be slated for, but nevertheless, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I miss my Game of Thrones, man. I used to really enjoy that show, and despite its turd finish, you know, I still like watching it. I'll go back and watch episodes and watch certain parts of the story that I know are real compelling that I've watched over and over, but yeah, looking forward to that. So August is going to be pretty busy when it comes down to the viewership and everything. So what have you guys been watching? What are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, go ahead and answer that, Todd, because I haven't been watching.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to watch a whole lot here lately.
Should have watched his via Amazon Prime, the old IMDb or IMBD, whatever DB, but one other thing is. It's now freebie, and I watched what they did as a follow-up to Bosch. Prime had the Bosch series on about a police detective. And so they have that Bosch Legacy, which catches him in his first year of civilian life, and that was pretty damn solid. So I got that, and it sure looks like they'll definitely have an additional season. That was all right. That was one of them that's out there. One that had a fairly big following that is still dropping Friday night episodes. I like you with that other show. I don't know how many episodes they will have, but I think they're at somewhere like 7 right now for The Boys.
Oh yeah.
So that's sitting out there. Although see how that one is. I haven't put down a whole lot. Now I'm actually trying to watch stuff I didn't get to watch every show of or whatever. So I'm actually going through the old Burn Notice.
Oh, okay.
Series. And catching up on, you know, they saw a show here and there, whatever, over the years. And it was, you know, it was one of those things, kind of shameless fun. Is one of those ones you don't want to think too hard about, yeah, what does this work or not work? Although some of their stuff seemed to have been good enough that it made, what was that? Damn it, was it Mythbusters? You know, they checked a couple of things they did on that show with Mythbusters, so they at least looked into it that way. So, you know, I'm not so much new as that. I mean, I look at the stuff that did drop. Did watch the most recent Bond on Amazon. That was pretty cool. That was pretty decent.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of that one. I'm trying to remember it. I'm sitting here scratching my head.
No Time to Die or something like that.
That's it. Yeah, I haven't watched any of the Bonds when Daniel Craig's in it. I was never a big Bond guy. Don't ask me why. I mean, to a certain extent, I'm sure, you know, Star Wars and Raiders of the Lost Ark and all that kind of stuff can probably be to blame for me not going deep in the 007 rabbit hole. Because, you know, when I was... And if you look at the 007 flicks that was coming out at the time when it was time to make me a fan or to, you know, the land a hook, as they say, it was ones like, and Todd, you got to help me out with the titles here. I know I'm going to screw them up. It's, was Moonraker one of them?
Oh, you're talking with Connery. And not Connery,
yeah.
Roger Moore.
Roger Moore, right. It was Moonraker, Octopussy, it was Man with the Golden Gun.
Man with the Golden Gun wasn't horrible. The what else was in it? Or For Your Eyes Only was friggin' excellent.
Yeah, that was good.
The... Man, there was another one. Good grief. Walken was a bad guy?
Yeah, because Roger Moore was the one. I thought Roger Moore was an excellent 007. I know a lot of people gave him hell for coming off of Connery and everything, but... He's another one of those ones that, you know, 20, 30, 40 years later, you actually look at it and you go, you know what, he did a good job. You know, it just, it's a hard act to follow with Sean Connery. And some of those 80s, late 70s, early 80s ones were just a little too over-the-top cheesy. And, of course, you know, you see guys driving Fiats off the top of damn apartment buildings and everything now, but nevertheless, those there was a couple there that just weren't hitting the spot. And so, of course, I swayed more towards watching the Indiana Jones stuff and all that. But I probably haven't watched a Bond flick in ages, to be honest with you, now that I'm thinking about it. It's been a while.
Hey, Dave, we've got somebody in the queue.
Oh, really? Oop, there it is. I see it. Just popped up. Awesome. Let me go let them in. Todd, carry on for me.
All right. We had just jump onto the Roger Moore. Live and Let Die, one of the great movie characters of all time, was in there. Spy Who Loved Me was solid. Moonraker, mm-hmm. Not so much. For Your Eyes Only was solid. Octopussy, no.
Yeah, it just yeah.
I think probably two of the best James Bond actors that I ever really liked watching was Sean Connery and Roger Moore was probably my two favorites.
Yeah, Roger Moore was the last one that was
I agree, Granny. Two of my favorites.
Papa Stroh,
what's happening?
Hey, guys. Connery and Roger Moore, man, this has been great Bonds, don't get me wrong, but to this day, they're two of my favorites, hands down. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah, you could probably help me out with a couple of those titles, too, because
View to a Kill was horrible.
Yeah, that was awful. That one was bad. The only thing good out of that movie was the music.
Well, Christopher Walken, too. But, I mean, I think it was just, with that situation, I think it was more or less the story they were given.
Oh,
you know, it could have been a lot better, honestly, you know, with the star power that it had.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't have a story to start with, all they're doing is pissing in the wind. And, you know, we've talked about that fact on here enough times. And, you know, it all starts with the writing. And if you got people just putting stuff together, and I've often wondered in Hollywood and music and everything else, I mean, you ever hear a song that is just so bad that you wonder, it's like, man, to be certain a guy was delivering pizza and just kind of heard the song and just kind of tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, hey, don't record this shit. You know what I mean? that's why I realize that there's a lot of money sunk into it and blah, blah, blah. But it's hard for me to believe that an actor wouldn't realize that something's going to suck before it's made. If you understand my meaning. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe that's why I'm not in the business, but there's just some of those things that that just don't seem to catch, you know? Now, I'll tell you something that I did watch. Speaking of something that did catch, on Paramount Plus, there is a 10-episode series called The Offer. And it's based off of Al Ruddy's experience producing The Godfather. And, you know, with biopics, you got to kind of take them with a grain of salt because there is some embellishment along the way, blah, blah, blah. But it was pretty damn good. And the actors that they had playing, the young man they had playing Al Pacino, was all over it. I mean, he had the whole mannerisms where he had kind of turned his head and everything when he spoke and all. I mean, I thought it was good. They were about an hour, about 50 minutes to an hour and 5 minutes long every episode. But, man, the stuff that that they went through to produce The Godfather, and you know, for me, despite being a big Star Wars fan and all that jazz, I still say The Godfather is probably, arguably, the greatest film ever made. And all the stuff that they went through in that whole thing was pretty hairy. So, yeah, it was called The Offer. Pretty damn good show, man. Worth the watch. Paramount Plus. So, Stro, I'll kick it over to you since you just joined us. You know, we were speaking on coming up in August. We've got, we've got Star Wars Andor. We've got Marvel She-Hulk. We've got the new Game of Thrones coming out. And then, of course, we've got Thor. Thor, God of Thunder, Love and Thunder, Days of Thunder, something like that.
That's coming out this week. So what are you looking forward to seeing? What's your wish list with those shows, or what have you been watching lately that you could recommend or not recommend to us?
Well, I thought Top Gun Maverick was outstanding, and probably going the highest grossing movies of the year, hands down. As far as Love and Thunder, the jury's still out on that one with me, so I'm just gonna have to wait and, you know, give it a go and see how it goes. I'm looking forward to the new Avatar film that'll be coming out soon as well. I enjoyed the first one very much, so.
The cartoon was phenomenal. I still watch that cartoon, and I've got the box set to that. And, God, that was just awesome series, man.
Oh, yeah. What else? I also... as far as you mentioned the return of the Game of Thrones, right? I hope they could make a save from the ending of their last season, because I mean it was one of those situations where it was such a great series, right? And towards the end, it was like, oh my God, what are they doing? You know what I mean? So I'm hoping this will redeem it somewhat. Has some redeeming qualities. I mean, just like True Blood, for example. I was enjoying True Blood, and like that final episode, it's like the writers just like threw their hands up in the air and just passed
just
it around.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so. The whole Game of Thrones thing, I kind of, you know. I know everybody wanted to blame, what was it, David and Dan, God, I can't remember their names. They started calling them Dumb and Dumber is what they called them. But nevertheless, these guys wrote seven seasons of damn near flawless television. And what happened in that eighth season, there's so many things And the term is catalyst. That's what they use in chemistry. You know, when you drop something particular into something else and it goes kaboom. There was so much that went wrong prior to that. And it just, one of the big things was source material. You know, George Martin still to this day has yet to draft the final part of that story. Now, he's written I don't know how many other books, but he hasn't written the last book to that series. And then when he's called out on it, he calls the fan base a bunch of assholes. And for me, it's a little disingenuous because he was me prior to it hitting HBO. You know what I mean? He was just another guy with another series of books. And and if you read the books, the books are so complex. I mean, you almost have to keep a scorecard. You almost have to have cliff notes after you read a chapter because it's such complex reading. But going back to the HBO thing, they had no source material, so they didn't have anything from George R. R. Martin to work off of. That was one thing.
Yeah.
Then the two writers got hired on by Disney to write three Star Wars series. So, of course, they're going to go where the money's at. And they had to kind of, you know, like they say, pinch off the turd and get back to work. And they basically rushed the whole writing piece of the end, you know, of that final season. And then, from what I understand, HBO shortened the whole draft up, too. You know, that actual right. company said, we're not going to give you the usual 12 to 14 episodes. You got to do it, what was it, six, seven?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, so all that put together, you know, was almost, you know, like a recipe for disaster.
Pretty much,
and,
right?
Yeah. And it's a shame, too, because the watching, I mean, as I said, like Game of Thrones is some of the most flawless watching you will do. It has everything. It has the, you know, the intrigue. It has the damn compelling storylines. It has the horror. It has the humor. It has it all. And unfortunately, they rushed it. They half, for a better term, they just half-assed the whole thing. Everybody involved.
Right.
And even the actors, and when I was speaking earlier about the actors not stopping and saying, hey, guys, this sucks. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and watch the table reading of season 8. And the gentleman, I can't remember his name, the one who played Varys, the spider.
Yeah. Yeah.
Watch his reaction as they're reading that. Watch his reaction and look at the faces of the other actors as they're reading this script. And you can tell by the looks on all their faces. They're all kind of going like, what in the hell are we reading? You know what I mean? So you almost got to wonder if
yeah.
they saw the writing on the wall somehow or another.
They were more disappointed than the audience was.
Right. And you're starting to see more and more of that. I mean, we talk about Mark Hamill, you know, with those last three Star Wars flicks, how, you know, he was doing guest appearances to promote the movie, and he was just basically just kind of staring at the floor the whole time because he knew they were big turds. So
he was trying to warn us. He was trying to warn us.
Yeah. Trying to let us all know ahead of time, you know. Don't get your hopes up. But, yeah, I'm with you. I really hope this new Game of Thrones comes through because, damn it, that wasn't some good television.
It really was. And speaking of HBO, if you haven't watched HBO Max, have you watched the series yet? Person of Interest, that series is amazing.
Really?
You have to watch it. Yes, the main character is the same actor who played Jesus in The Passion of the Christ. And he, in the series, he's an ex-soldier that befriends a guy who's a pretty much a genius, right? And they use a machine by the government to track down criminals around the world and bring them to justice. And it's so good because, I mean, the actor I mentioned that plays the main character, he's pretty much the muscle behind the other guy who's the brain. And, I mean, each episode is, like, so different. I mean, it's almost like, and the guy, Chris Nolan, who did all the Batman movies, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that's directing it, and it's top-notch. But it's called Person of Interest. It's really good. And even the lady agents, the lady spy, I mean, they are just, I mean, amazing. It's so good.
I'm going to have to watch that. I hadn't even considered that. I need to go write that down.
Yep.
Person of Interest. Oh, well,
you'll get your
hook. Minutes.
Great stuff. Great.
Now, Granny, I know you said you haven't been watching much TV of late, but what kind of stuff are you looking forward to, or what kind of stuff do you wish you can get more of?
Well, you know, my husband and I, we actually went and saw that Elvis movie when it came out in the theaters, and we both thought that was really good. I could sit and watch that movie again. I mean, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, Dale went to go see
it. I mean, they had Tom Hanks looking so much like Colonel Tom Parker in that movie. It was just unreal. And they said the guy that played Elvis studied him for like over 2 years and had 90 costume changes in that entire movie.
Damn. Mm.
But I really enjoyed it. I mean, I thought it was really well done.
Yeah, Dale went to go see it. She wanted me to go with her, but it was one of those ones where I was just getting home and wasn't quite feeling it. So she went out there to the movies and saw it. She enjoyed it. Me, I'd be in there cracking too many jokes. Because Elvis, of course, is one of those things that I never particularly got into. I kind of missed the boat on Elvis. But my mom, on the other hand, was ate up with the man. So normally it's always kind of a roast point for mom whenever I go by, you know, to see her. I'll start making some Elvis references just to mess with her. But, yeah, I've heard it's a pretty good flick. It's probably one of those ones, though, that I'll end up catching here at the house because I'll never get my ass out there to the theater. That's part of my problem. When it comes down to seeing movies in the theater, if it's not a Marvel or a Star Wars flick, I really don't make much of an effort to get out to it. And I guess the biggest reason is my antisocial personality. I'm here to tell you, I have gotten to the point where, you know, we've talked on here before about how there's 200 empty seats in the theater and somebody has to sit right down next to you. I'm just not willing to risk it these days, you know. So I'll probably end up catching that one here at the house. I'm trying to think of what else is out there floating around.
I know it's really early to tell, but I mean, from what you've seen, what are your thoughts on She-Hulk? Right?
That's my trying to keep it positive grunt. Now the comic book, when John Byrne did a She-Hulk series in the 80s, comic book series, that was fantastic. I mean, and there for a little bit.
The comic book's great, yeah.
Yeah, and right after the Secret Wars that happened in the 80s, Ben Grimm, who of course was the Thing, my favorite guy, he actually had the ability to turn back to Ben Grimm. So at the end of Secret Wars, he decided to stay behind. Spoiler alert, of course, everybody's had 40 years of reading shit, so it's not that big of a deal, but he stayed behind in the off-world where the Secret Wars were held because he got to remain his human form. And so what they did is John Byrne was writing for the Fantastic Four at the same time. So what he did is he put She-Hulk in the same spot there in the Fantastic Four, and she was briefly, for about a three-year span there, a member of the Fantastic Four, and was great. I mean, the series was, and I thought I would hate it because, you know, I didn't have my man the Thing in there, but great writing, great art, great everything. And so when they said they were coming out with a She-Hulk show, I was like, wow, all right, cool. Looking forward to seeing this. And, oh, boy. the previews just aren't there for me. I hope somehow or another they come around, but right now it's not looking too promising. I know that.
Oh, man. You see the CGI? Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, even some of the CGI in Obi-Wan.
Oh, that's a whole little new bag of tricks right there.
Well, yeah. It wasn't quite up to snuff.
The Reva Show.
Oh, yeah. You heard they canceled her toy line, didn't you? It happened two or three days ago. Yeah, Hasbro canceled it. They actually Hasbro. Get a load of this now. It's pretty interesting stuff. You know how you have how they have like crowdfunders, where they you know, if people are willing to commit X amount of dollars by X amount of time, we will do this. And in return, the people who pledge will get this, this, and this. Hasbro Toys has something called HasLab. H-A-S-L-A-B, HasLab.com. And what they do is that they put prototypes of specific non-produced items at a certain dollar amount, and people do like a crowdfunding thing, and they pledge to buy X item. Well, they came out with a Reva lightsaber, and they wanted $499 for it.
Oh, geez.
All right. So you're already looking at $500. It has been the slowest pledging, I guess is how you'd put it. It has gotten the least amount of pledges out of everything they've ever put on the thing. So it's been on there for like 2 months now, and it just ain't getting off the ground. So,
oh, wow.
And if you look at the item, it's pretty nifty. I mean, the lightsaber is pretty damn cool. And it's legit stuff. It ain't some chintzy plastic thing you're going to get. It's actually well built. But she just
You know what her character? You know what her character reminded me of? Remember that scene in Austin Powers where he was at the club? I think it was the second Austin Powers movie where he's at the club and he meets Felicity Shagwell. And why it seems he meets her. The lady that plays a lot of vagina from the first movie shows up in short hair, and all these things happen to her, and she doesn't die.
Yeah.
I mean, she gets shot at, she gets like grenaded and everything, and she falls off this 10 or so story building and still lives. I mean, that's like pretty much Reva. I mean, she gets stabbed and lightsaber, well, dual lightsabers rather, by Darth Vader, and goes all this and still lives. I mean, it's insane.
That and she was just not a very when it comes down, you know, we did last week's show on villains, right? You know, a villain to me, it kind of cracks me up on some movies how the villain gets the bad or gets the good guy in a compromising position, and then the bad guy says, well, you know what? This was my plan. I was going to do X, and X was going to happen to Y, and Z was going to happen. And then when Z happened, I was going to stick it to you, and I was going to rule the world. No real bad guys ever do that. And if you look at history's bad guys, a lot of them were very calculating, manipulative kind of people. And you get Reva out there, and every one of her lines is shouted. I mean, if you could win an Oscar, if they had a category, best shouter, best line shouted in a motion picture, she would win it because every one of her lines was either snarled or yelled. And it just...
She couldn't even interrogate a little girl, Princess Leia. It was embarrassing.
No! And I don't blame it on the actress. I blame it on the writing. Because all the actress is doing is working with what she was given.
That's right.
And I'll put it to you this way. You can go to Lowe's and buy a kit for a deck. All you have to do is get the dimensions you want, the design you want, XYZ. You say, I want this deck. You pay for it, and 48 hours later, you have a truck dropping pallets of material in your backyard. And it's almost like putting together a damn model airplane, just harder. And you build, when you're done, you have this beautiful deck up the specs that you wanted built in your backyard, and you're enjoying it, okay? Now, take that same idea, and you just have somebody drop off a bunch of random ass pieces of lumber in your backyard and says, build a deck with it, guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a goddamn disaster. And I feel like that's a lot of what happened on Obi-Wan. And like we were, I can't remember what it was, last week or a couple of weeks ago, we had mentioned that the guy who was writing the series had never watched Star Wars.
That's, oh, my God, so sad. Oh, my God.
You know, and how many times you go get a job somewhere, you try to get an entry-level job at Taco Bell, and they say, oh, well, you don't have any food handling service, we can't hire you. But yet this guy is able to write a miniseries for Star Wars and has never watched Star Wars play. So, yeah, it's just mind-numbing how all that went down. So it's, I don't know.
Yeah. Nuts.
I don't know.
Thank you again, Kathleen Kennedy.
Yeah, she hooked it all up. Hooked it all up. So, Todd, what kind of other stuff you got floating around? What kind of stuff you looking forward to?
Man, another time I did see that apparently there's supposed to be another Godzilla vs. Kong coming. I mean, I don't know if that's anytime soon, but... So that's interesting. I haven't seen that one, but the...
That'd be hard to top the first one.
Right.
I thought the first one was awesome.
Oh yeah.
I like that Skull Island too.
Oh yeah, that Skull Island was really good.
All we can do is look forward to stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's... The thing of it is that it gets scary. And I use that term lightly. As a fan, you put your time, you put your money, you put your heart into it, you buy the shirts, you sit in the movie theater, blah, blah, blah. And there's a certain investment of your life that you put into certain fandoms. And sometimes I feel like it's better cut it off before it gets stale. And I know a lot of people out there would disagree with me, like, oh, no. But when it runs out of gas, you know, take, for instance, like myself with my books, I realize that the Bats Crossing gang in the first, second, fourth, and coming up fifth book, I'm going to try to pitch it off again in that fifth book just because I don't want the storyline getting stale. And if I have any unused ideas for story plots, I will transition those into other storylines for the Hunger series. And instead of continually just running it, and I think that's what happens with a lot of shows and even movies. I mean, stop and look at some of the historical sequels upon sequels. Look at Police Academy. I mean, the first Police Academy, I can still watch it this day, and I'd be in tears the whole damn time. I mean, when dude grabs the books and goes to throw them out the window and the window's shut, that's funny shit, okay? But then Academy got the, what, 4 and 5? It was like, it was unbearable. So, you know, if you're out of ideas, cut it off. You know, you look at like MASH. You know, you remember when Alan Alda left the show. You know, when McLean Stevenson left.
Yeah, I was going to say Alan Alda was in the final.
Well, Alan Alda checked out there for a bit, did he not? For the last couple seasons? I think he
Well, did. he was still in there because right before they had the very final season, you know, he was, you know, in that hospital or whatever, you know, because Sidney, the psychiatrist, was always visiting him, you know. But now when McLean Stevenson left the series, when they killed him off, when they killed off his character and he died, you know, flying home, and then that's when they brought Trapper John in. I mean, well, B.J. Honeycutt, and he took Wayne Rogers' place. And, you know, Harry Morgan took McLean Stevenson's place, Colonel Potter.
Right. And they were good enough characters to where they were able to hold it. You know what I mean? They were...
And then Frank Burns, he left the show, and Colonel Winchester Charles Winchester took over Frank Burns' place.
And there's an
Frank
example...
Frank Burns eats
where
worms.
Yeah. That's where it didn't hold. Because I didn't feel like he was as good of a character as the ass-kissing, snarky Burns was. He just wasn't there. But you know, that's another.
Because if you remember the episode where Hot Lips Houlihan and Pierce, you know, they were taking care and they were getting, you know, bombarded by the people, and they started drinking, and all of a sudden they, you know, had their little fun night of whoopee, you know.
Yeah, that was, I don't know, that was another show to me that just kind of run out of gas and perhaps should have been.
And Radar, when he left the series, you know, and Klinger took his place, you know, for Colonel Potter, that kind of, you know.
Yeah, because Radar was great. Radar had, you know, the one-liners that always got in there, and his one-liners were always kind of just on the level. You know, they weren't over-the-top funny, but they were timed just right. So, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I that's my thing about this whole Game of Thrones thing. I just hope like hell that, because now they're saying that Kit Harington has signed on to do a Jon Snow series. And that is supposed to pick up at the end of Game of Thrones. So my big request is that if you're going to do these series, okay, what's the old thing? Don't half-ass two things, whole-ass one thing. All right? If you're going to do it all the way. And what does that mean? That means thoroughly write. That means thoroughly produce. That means leave this woke garbage out of it and make a compelling, watchable, unagenda-based series for us so we can look forward to that night. And a good example is The Walking Dead. I mean, The Walking Dead, and I've said this to every cast member of The Walking Dead that I've met, is I've always thanked them because I knew that every Sunday at 9 o'clock, my whole family would be together. Out of the 168 hours there are in a week, and everybody's working and you know, doing yard work and going to school and playing video games and, you know, yak, 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 cooking and cleaning. I always knew that 1 hour a week I would be able to spend it with my family, okay? And The Walking Dead every Sunday night was an event here at our house for years. I mean, it was to the point where we're all like, okay, 8:30, okay, let's let the dogs out, good, good. Okay, get the popcorn made, good, good. All right, you got that, good. Okay, you know, wintertime, you got your blankets. Okay, you got your blankets, good. And the show has drifted so, so much that it's no longer priority. And to a certain extent, it's almost become kind of work to watch it, and I hate like hell to admit that because I love The Walking Dead, but what they've done is they've just kind of taken a good thing and they've just run the hell out of it. So make the show worthy of the time, I guess is what I'm asking. You know, and a good example, Moon Knight and Ms. Marvel, two miniseries here on Disney Plus, Marvel. And as I alluded to earlier, you know, I always make it a point to watching the Marvel and the Star Wars stuff. It's just a habit, you know. I'm a lifelong fan of this stuff. I haven't watched any of the Ms. Marvel. And I watched the first Moon Knight and didn't watch it again until all of them were out, and I just watched the whole damn thing in a day. And that's not me. That's not the usual excitement that I generate from these programs. But after watching Falcon Winter Soldier and Loki and Hawkeye, it dulled it down for me to a point where it was no longer a priority. It was no longer one of those things where, hey, man, it's Wednesday. I got to sit down and watch this. And that is my fear with these upcoming shows that are on deck for August. I just pray that, and I don't think they have, that they've parked all the agenda-based writing. And they actually got people that could write, for Christ's sake. Not to say my stuff is Shakespeare, but Jesus Christ. Some of the writing. I mean, it's atrocious. Now, did you guys ever watch Game of Thrones? Am I the only guy to watch Game of Thrones on here?
Oh, I did.
Saw a couple of the early episodes, and that was it.
Okay. I mean, you got to admit, when you were watching that stuff, there were things that happened
that sent you to bed just like, damn, did I just see that? You know, that was compelling ass stuff. And, you know, it just, that's what you want. That's what you look for. That's what builds a fan base, is the stuff that makes you look forward to more. And unfortunately, you know, here of late, a lot of the stuff they're putting out is just marginal, man. And it's just not, there. So I don't know. You know, we shall see. It's, hopefully it'll come around, because I'm looking forward to some good stuff, man. I want something that's going to, like I said, land the hook, something I'm actually going to get back into, something that's going to make me stop what I'm doing and tune in. So, oh, we shall see. So, with all that, we're already at the quarter after mark. So, reckon we might be good to go ahead and pass it around. What do y'all think?
Works for me.
I'm good for that.
Before we all run out of gas. Because I don't know about y'all. I'm tired as hell. But nevertheless, yeah, let's go ahead and pass it around the room. Give us plenty of time to do our parting shots. So as always, I'm going to start off with the busiest man in Onslow County. Brother Stroh, talk to me. What have you got going on, young man?
Tomorrow night, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at VOCNation.com. We'll be discussing the career of the late Macho Man, Randy Savage. So if you got a cool Macho Man, Randy Savage story, please call in. And then Friday night, midnight Eastern Standard Time, the Stroh Zone, the Horror Slash My Show at Facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. That feature for Friday night will be The Thing from Another World. So please tune into that. And then Saturday, I will be at the UPWA Pro Wrestling event at Ogden YMCA in Wilmington, North Carolina. I think bell time is 7:30. Doors open at 6:30. And on that particular night, the Saturday night, I will be inducting the late Moses Manson into the UPWA Hall of Fame. So if you're in the Wilmington, North Carolina area, please come on out and join us. But thank you for having me. Always a great time here.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us this evening. Faux show. Good to have you aboard. Wow, that's something else. Good to hear you got all that going on, man. And, you know, we'll be crossing paths a little too often coming up here. I got to get those posters to you. I have not, as a matter of fact, today was the actual first kind of day I have taken off in, 5 weeks? And even July 4th, I was doing pressure washing on July 4th. As much as I didn't want to be doing it, I had a friend of mine that was up against the time thing with selling the house. So I went out there and knocked it out on July 4th against my better wishes. That was the whole idea behind opening my own business, so I can make my own damn schedule. But yeah, it has been crazy. So I got to get those posters to you, because we got a busy 6 months ahead of us. That's for damn certain. But man, good to have you aboard. Appreciate you joining us this evening and giving us your input there, Daddy-O. So,
yeah, thank you for having me.
Granny, Hulkster, what kind of parting shots do you have, dear?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the week, and I'm glad I could be part of the show with you all tonight. I know the last couple of weeks I've, you know, had to miss out and everything, and I've really missed you guys. So it was a lot of fun getting to hang out with you, people I care about, you know. And even though I've never met any of you in person, I still consider each and every one of you family. So, you know, family's very important. you know, and well, you don't have to be blood kin to be family. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you don't have to be related to be family, you know. So I consider each and every one of you all, even though you all love to give me grief, and that's okay, because that means you care about me. That means you love Granny. And like I used to say when we used to do the show with Bruce Wirt and Ken Resnick and Wrestling in History, you know, everybody loves Granny. So, even the bad guys, they love me. They just don't always want to admit it. But that's okay, you know, so.
Yeah, it's good to have you aboard. I hope you get some rest. I know you've had a very busy outside of the Granny life, and things will settle. They cannot be, you know, seas cannot be turbulent all the time. And as they say, only good sailors have gone through rough seas, because if you've been on calm seas your entire life, you can't become a good sailor. What's the other analogy they use? Don't give me a knight in shining armor, because obviously he's never been in a fight.
That's right.
So, you know, all this does is it makes you a better person. It makes you stronger. And I know that you got what it takes. Despite the constant gut punches, I know you got what it takes to hang in there, Granny, and keep a positive attitude about it. So you just keep getting it. We love you here. And as you said,
love you all too, and thanks for having me on tonight. So,
family ain't about blood. It's about loyalty. And
that's right.
Everybody looking out for one another and having nothing but good thoughts for each other. That is gold. As a matter of fact, you'll probably find that you get a lot more of that than what you do with your actual blood. If you're anything like
me. Well, you know, unfortunately, I don't have a lot of family left. I mean, you know, so when I look at my wrestling family and I look at all of you guys, you know, you all are so important to me. My wrestling family is so important to me. I mean, I don't know what I would do if I didn't have such great people to be a part of my life and, you know, to encourage me when I'm down or going through whatever I'm going through, you know, and it's just like, you know, my wrestling family, they think the world of Anthony, and, you know, they always, you know, they make him feel like he always matters. And that's what I love about my wrestling family, because they always make Anthony feel like, you know, feels like that he matters all the time, and that's what's really
right.
Important.
And that's because he does matter. And
of course, absolutely.
You know, and again, that goes back to what I was saying about blood versus loyalty. If I'm blood kin to you and I don't ever talk to you, well, guess what? As a matter of fact, it's funny. There's, you know how on Facebook you will get people you might know in your feed. I see people come up with the last name of Atwell, and I'll call my dad up, and I'll say, Pop, who's this? And he goes, yeah, well, that's your Uncle So-and-so's son from his third marriage. And I'm going, I have no idea who the guy is. So he may be on the family tree, but damned if I've never sat next to him at the table. So, you know, every Wednesday we come together. And we've been through heartache. We've been through good times together here on the show. And that's what it's all about. Got nothing to do with DNA. That's for damn certain.
Absolutely.
But, yeah.
Absolutely.
Pass all the best on to David and Anthony, of course, and your mama.
I will.
And hope
I will.
She has a smooth and comfortable transition. I know that's a hell of a step to take. And yeah, you're going to have a lot of feelings rushing through you, but just know she'll be in good hands, you know.
For sure.
But you get
sure.
some rest, all right?
Oh, I will. I will.
No porn tonight.
Trust me.
No porn. You go
no,
straight to bed
no,
tonight.
No. I don't do stuff like that. I do not do stuff like that. That's not my cup of tea, you know.
Now, you're going to sit up and watch all eight seasons of Game of Thrones just because we've been talking about it.
No, probably not. Probably not. Probably not. So I'm going to, as soon as I get off the phone with you all, I'm going to bed.
Get that pillow. You're damn right. Well, we love you, Granny Holster. Get you some rest.
Love you all, too. Love you all, too.
Outstanding. Now, Todd, my good brother, talk to me. Throw some wisdom out there.
All right. You guys know it is. It's always about take care of yourselves, your family, one another. We're out there doing the stuff for the 4th, and it's just, you know, it's kind of amazing how many safety precautions we put in there. There were still things that happened that were result of pyrotechnic failures, but we did all the stuff safety wise and you can actually do this stuff. And we did come to the conclusion that when you're out there doing it sober, it just does not have the same ring when it says, you say, hey, y'all, watch this, here, hold my soda or hold my water. It just ain't quite got the ring to it that hold my beer. Just doesn't.
It's like frying Oreos.
Yeah, something like that. Hey, y'all, watch this.
Oh, hell. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us this evening, man. It's always good to have you aboard. Always good to hear your voice. Hopefully you'll be getting back. Lightning will strike. Of course, then you'll leave Tim all alone up there, and we don't want Tim being lonely, but nevertheless. Yeah, it'd be good to have you back here with family and
would be nice. Doing
what you do every day without having to actually be there. That is the promised land. So, yeah, dude. But, man, it's always good to have you aboard. Always appreciate your support. You are my brother. Appreciate it much, man. So, parting shots here. Just a quick reminder without going through all of the dates we got coming up, because we'll be pressing harder and harder on those. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, go to grandstrand.com. I don't know. I think that guest list is correct. I haven't spoken to Brad or Jen here in the last couple weeks, so I don't know if that is up to date or not. But I know for XCon, they were supposed to have 4 of the original models for the Mortal Kombat game. And it was supposed to be Shao Kahn, Sub-Zero, Sonya Blade, and Sindel, the actors that posed for, you know, because you remember Mortal Kombat was the first kind of like live action motion type thing. And they weren't, they were able, they had to back out of XCon the last second, but they are slated for the Grand Strand Con, so I'm hoping that they will be there, and but that will be November 26th, 27th. Check out the website, because I'm not quite up to date to that. But here in Eastern North Carolina, we do have the Jacksonville Mini Con. That'll be at Lionized Games in New River Shopping Center. That's a Saturday. The whole idea behind it is basically a warm-up. You'll have local artists in there peddling their wares and everything. Pop Stro will be there. I will be there. And Dr. John is throwing the bash. So Dr. John always threw quality events and everything. So I'm looking forward to him getting back on the horse, because I really enjoyed his leadership and everything when he was promoting the shows over the years. And if you go there, it's a free event. You will be getting a $5 coupon for admission, or $5 off admission for the Jacksonville Comic Con that will be happening on February 18th, downtown Jacksonville, Sturgeon Center, which I think we'll be having a packed house. I've already spoken to Josh Alexander, our good friend Josh, Mr. Cosplay. He will be there. He is pumped up, ready to go. He's pretty damn excited about getting out there. So looking forward to having all that going down. Like I said, it's a very, very busy 6 months coming up, along with the Havelock Comic-Con on the 19th of November. More about that as the time draws near. But outside of that, just ask everybody to check out the Hunger Series on Amazon.com by yours truly, Dave Atwell. Pick up a book. There are some things in the works right now, which I'm not going to throw out there because I'm one of those guys that doesn't like to say things until they're actually done. Every idea is only as good as the follow-through. So if you're only 10% into it, no need in talking about it. Talk about it when you get around that 99 mark. Nevertheless, hopefully have some stuff brewing with the Hunger Series. Looking forward to that. And lastly, in the event you need some geek decor in your house, I've opened up an Etsy store and have actually put my art major into motion, and I am putting stuff on Etsy that any type of geek cave that you might have, whether it be Star Wars or Star Trek or, you know, you name it, it's there. But look under Geek Cave Creations, and that'll be my work on there. Please check it out. If nothing else, favorite the store. Tell an old man he's doing a good job, despite the fact that his hands shake, and make a guy feel loved. So outside of that, I reckon we will go ahead and cut this off, cue in the old British lady, who's still recovering from that big L that she took last week. Not last week, but just this past Monday. And, damn it, what was that that got on me? Damn, the bugs. Here in Onslow County, carry off a school bus. Good Lord. All right. Get inside where the bugs are smaller.
Right.
Need to call Terminus. Yeah. The bugs aren't as big inside the house. And with all that said, we'll bring an end to tonight's broadcast. And thank you again, everybody, for listening to us here. Carry on like a bunch of knuckleheads. Pop culture stars. Love you guys. Stay safe. And
good night, everybody.
British lady. Big dog.
British lady. Where is she?